Radio Daily for...
Yeah. Yeah. Anti-Friday for, well, everyone that still has to go to work today.
I got up early.
I didn't say a thing. I wasn't pointing at all. I didn't name names. Nothing. Hi there.
It's a snow day. Give me a chance.
Snow day, Claire. Anything can happen. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and probably been wondering where the hell we've been. Well, we've been wondering the same thing about you.
We were on a break.
Yeah, deal with it. The folks bringing the tea today, well, that there, the lady that doesn't have to go to work today, that's the Flintstress.
Don't worry. I have my full of throats for the tea.
Well, I'm sure you could put a few more throats in there if you really wanted to. Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I'm what you would call Twitter famous, meaning not famous.
In the slightest. What happened on this fine, fantastical day there, you?
Well, in 1790, President George Washington delivers the first State of the Union address in New York City.
1838, the first telegraph message in the U.S. in which letters are represented by dots and dashes is transmitted. The message reads, "A patient waiter is no loser."
Huh. In 1889, Dr. Herman Hollerith, statistician for the U.S. Census Bureau, is issued the first three patents for his punch card tabulating machine, which is also the first patents ever issued for a computer.
Yay. 1940, at Bell Labs, Dr. George Stibitz completes construction of a complex number calculator, a full-scale relay calculator capable of performing the complex arithmetic calculations involving complex numbers necessary for circuit design.
It's a good day for computer history today. In 1958, Bobby Fischer wins the U.S. championships for the first time at only 14 years of age. That would be chess.
1962, Cable and Wireless opens a coaxial telephone cable between Bermuda and the United States, which will remain in operation until 1990.
And now they just don't get TV anymore.
Nope.
In 68, Jacques Cousteau first undersea special debuts on network television in the U.S.
We are going down deep into the water. 1973, the Soviet Luna 21 spacecraft is launched on a mission to the moon, carrying the Lunokhod 2 lunar rover, which sounds like a joke name.
In 79, Atari files for a patent for the Atari 400/800 computer system, described as a data processing system with a programmable graphics generator.
1982, Assistant Attorney General William F. Baxter, head of the United States Department of Justice Antitrust Division, withdraws the government's 13-year-old antitrust suit against IBM. Because they hadn't found something to convict them on at that time?
The DOJ also announces a consent decree has been issued in the antitrust case that it brought against AT&T.
IBM sold them out. 1983, Twin Galaxies holds the first significant video game championship anywhere, January 8th and 9th, in order to name a world champion.
In 86, hacker and Legion of Doom member Lloyd Blankenship, known as the web handle The Mentor, publishes the short essay The Conscience of a Hacker, sometimes referred to as the Hacker Manifesto, in the Hacker E-Zine.
1991, American Video Entertainment files a $105 million lawsuit against Nintendo, accusing them of violating antitrust laws by barring compatible game cartridges from the marketplace.
In 93, at the Winter Consumer Electronics Showcase, the CES, Jeff Hansen again defeats Yuichi Tsuyama to remain reigning world Nintendo champion for 1993.
1994, at the Winter Consumer Electronics Show, video game industry representatives begin drafting a common rating system for video games following Senate hearings on video game violence precipitated by the game Night Trap.
Additionally, Sega announces it will withdraw the game, Night Trap, pending a re-edit, and that it will re-release the game again once the industry had agreed on a common video rating system.
The game was once called Disgusting, Shameful, Sick, and Ultraviolent, and I would really like to go back in time and show them stuff for now. I played the original version.
Yeah.
It's tame. It's so freaking tame. There's more stuff on network TV now. 1996, Netgear, a manufacturer of computer networking equipment, is founded.
Huh. In 97, the California State Legal Employment Network is hacked by global chaos.
1998, America Online reveals it has named several firms in a suit to bar them from spamming its subscribers.
How well did that work? Also in 98, the Bureau of Labor Statistics is flooded with fake information requests as its servers are consequently shut down.
Also same year, the Maryland Board of Education's computer systems are hacked and payroll files are altered, and that's why teachers made even less than they do.
Hopefully they altered it in the positive direction, but whatever.
No, it wasn't white hat hacker.
In 2000, IT research firm Computer Economics releases a report that companies lost an estimated $5.3 billion globally in productivity due to their employees' recreational web surfing, and another $12.1 billion as a result of viruses in 99.
bogus. 2002 BattleBots Season 4.0, huh? Because it's premieres on Comedy Central.
And IBM announces it will no longer manufacture desktop computers in most world markets.
No. 2006, John Lech Johansson, better known as DVD John, announces he intends to crack the next generation DVD encryption standard AACS. It comes 3 years after his acquittal on charges of hacking DVD security codes.
Wow. And in 2007, computer manufacturer Asus announces the first external graphics card, the XG Station, allowing laptop users to perform graphically intensive work while remaining portable.
Also in 2007, the discovery of the first example of a triple quasar is announced at the American Astronomical Society meeting in Seattle.
Sounds like a tricky move to pull off.
A bit.
Yahoo acquires the MyBlogLog blogger community.
Which we all still use. 2010, Lionsgate releases Daybreakers, directed by Michael and Peter Spierg, starring Ethan Hawke and Willem Dafoe. I don't know if we remember that. Birthdays?
I don't know. Gabby Hoffman is 36 from Uncle Buck, Volcano, and Veronica Mars, Girls, and Transparent.
Rachel Nichols is 38 from Dumb and Dumberer, when Harry Met Lloyd, the Amityville Horror, Star Trek, G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, Conan the Barbarian, and Continuum. So all not that good films.
Sarah Pauly is 39 from The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, Existence, and Dawn of the Dead, and Splice.
Yvette Mimeau is 76 from The Time Machine and The Black Hole.
If The Time Machine fell into the black hole?
Oh my God, that's weird.
Whoa. Stephen Hawking is 76. We all know what he's done.
Bob Eubanks is 80. We all know what he's done. In the butt, Bob.
Larry Storch is 95 from Tennessee Tuxedo, F Troop, and The Happy Hooker Goes to Washington.
Of all the sequels, that's my favorite. No longer with us, born in 1862, Frank Nelson Doubleday, American publisher, founded the Doubleday Publishing Company, hence him being a publisher.
Born in 1896, Arthur Ford, American psychic, founder of the Spiritual Frontiers Fellowship.
1908, William Hartnell, the first doctor.
1911, Gypsy Rose Lee, burlesque legend, and the inspiration for the movie show Gypsy.
1912, Jose Ferrer from The Big Bust, The Swarm, Dracula's Dog, To Be or Not to Be, and Dune.
Born in 1920, Richard Benedict, Beginning of the End, It, The Terror from Beyond Space, and Ocean's 11.
1923, Joseph Weizenbaum, one of the fathers of artificial intelligence.
1926, Soupy Sales, American comedian, actor, radio television personality, and jazz aficionado, Donkey Kong in the animated show Saturday Supercade, and host on WNBC.
WNBC. 1935, The King, baby, Elvis Presley.
And in 1947, David Bowie, the man who fell to Earth, Labyrinth, and The Prestige.
If only I wasn't going to be reminded about that in just a little bit.
Well, on CBS, we get a rerun of The Big Bang Theory, Kevin Can Wait, Young Sheldon, Superior Donuts, and SWAT, SWAT.
ABC, it's a new The Bachelor, and I think there's a Demolition Derby involved, and The Good Doctor as well.
On NBC, we get a new episode of The Wall, and Better Late Than Never, and The Brave.
On Fox, it's a rerun of Lucifer and Gifted, which has been picked up for a second season.
Yay! On The CW, we get reruns of Part 1 and 2 of Crisis on Earth X.
Freeform is showing Bridesmaids. Okay.
Funny, but it's not Twilight.
No, it's not.
AMC has Curse of the Black Pearl.
Oh, so the Food Network creating dessert pizzas on a new kids' baking championship, and I promise you they can't outdo Pizza Inn. Yeah, Pizza Inn.
FX, Fantastic Four, the newer one.
Oh,
newest one.
Yeah, FXX, The Simpsons, Homer the Mercenary. Mercenary? Sure, why not? Barney Quits Drinking and Behind the Laughter, which should have been the final episode of The Simpsons.
Wow. On FXM 2012.
The luckiest limo driver ever.
Disaster porn.
IFC will be showing Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Be excellent to each other. On Nick, we get WWE superstars take on tough challenges on a new paradise run.
On BBC America, it's the Voyage Marathon, and at 8 p.m. it starts from the beginning with Caretaker. So there you go.
Wow. On Sundance, we get Mission to Mars.
Sci-fi channel, Goonies Never Die, because it's being shown yet again.
On TNT, we get Avatar, and then Tron Legacy.
Over on TV One, a nurse's body is found in the garage on a new Fatal Attraction, then the new Thou Shalt Kill. No, huh. Thou Shalt Not. I said it wrong, but I wanted it to be interesting.
On Science, we get a new Space's Deepest Secret.
USA's got WWE Monday Night Raw, but we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because when their nanny begins neglecting her duties, the Trips have no choice but to fire her. Then they learn she's established residency in their home and will have to be legally evicted, which could take months.
Oh,
Lindsay
man.
Elston and Matthew Polkamp star in Evil Nanny.
Dun, dun, dun.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Stefan and Abby have an awkward encounter. They're both trying to buy the last 21 Pilots tickets. Andre deceives Kate. He said he was going to take her to see 21 Pilots, and she believed him. Sierra makes a surprising decision about Rafe. If his favorite 21 Pilots song is not the same as hers, they might have issues. Trip tries to confront Claire because she's distraught about Theo needing to go away for treatment because of all this damn 21 Pilots talk. They must be a new sponsor. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
No, of course not, because people didn't know if we were serious about actually coming back on the day we said we were.
We're back!
Well, we were serious, and we did, so ha-ha! So tell us everything you've been doing by dropping a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. This will give us email for months to come, and that's generally how we space it out for the rest of the year.
Did Santa bring you geeky stuff?
I've got a Switch.
Hi there! I am Nobilis Reed, the creator and host of the Nobilis Erotica podcast, and I'd like you to listen to my show. Just me telling you that might not be very convincing, so I got a few of my friends to record some reasons why you should listen to the Nobilis Erotica podcast.
I just can't listen to it because the other toll booth operators think I'm getting turned on by sweaty quarters and truck exhaust.
Oh, okay, okay. Clearly, not getting...
Nobilis Erotica is really good, but I just can't listen to it because when I do, I get a tingly sensation in my loins, and I work in the morgue, and that's just wrong.
All right then, fine. The Nobilis Erotica podcast, not safe for work, even in headphones. Find all the information about subscribing at nobilis.libsyn.com.
Hi, this is Sean Marr, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. I don't know why.
He was so funny and nice and cute.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Mr. Cobb, for continuously putting me on panels with people I have crushes on. Oh, what are we doing? This button. That's right. Some folks went to the movies on for what some folks was a very extended long weekend.
Oh, yeah. This week's 10. Last week's 7. All the money in the world made about $3.5 million. Not all the money. And it's made $20 million. It's been out for 2 weeks.
This week's 9. Last week's 6. Coco made another $5.5 million. 192 in 7 weeks. Would have made more if they had gotten rid of Olaf sooner.
This week's 8. Last week's 8. Darkest Hour made a little over $6 million. And it's made just about 28 domestic in 7 weeks.
This week's 7, last week's 13. Molly's Game, another 7 million, 14.2 in 2 weeks. Got to see that.
This week's 6, last week's 5. Ferdinand, the animated John Cena, put up almost $8 million. It's made $71 million on a budget of $111, been out 4 weeks.
This week's 5, last week's 3. Pitch Perfect 3, which I hope is an appropriate goodbye, made $10 million. It's made $85.9 in 3 weeks on a $45 budget.
Yeah, good for them. And I love those girls. I will see that movie at some point. This week's 4, last week's 4, The Greatest Showman. I have heard so many good things about this. $13.8 million. It's made $76 million. It's been out 3 weeks.
This week's 3 was last week's 1, Star Wars The Last Jedi, no longer the number one film. Another $23.5 million, $572 million in 4 weeks. I think they're doing
okay. I
kind of
want to go see it again.
I always do.
This week's 2, Insidious, The Last Key. Random to come out this time of year, but whatever. $29.2 million on a budget of $10 million. They'll just keep making those because they're cheap and they do well.
Well, it's The Last Key. I think they're actually wrapping up the Insidious series.
Sure.
The main family hasn't been in an Insidious film since the second one. This is the fourth one. So the number one movie in America finally was number two last week and the week before. Jumanji,
welcome
to the jungle.
To the jungle.
$36 million. It's made $244 million in 3 weeks on a $90 million budget.
We'll be getting Jumanji 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Jumanjier. It's happening.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News. Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, one of the longest-standing complaints about DC Films Initiative at Warner Brothers is that it's lacked a figurehead, someone whom decisions to default to and can serve as the public face the way Marvel has. You know, they have Kevin Feige. That's fine. Because look, even I, as a defender of these films, know Zack Snyder is only head of slow-mo in action sequences. I get that. Previously, John Berg and Jeff Johns were in that position at DC Films, but with the not stellar showing of Justice League, which was awesome, by the way, they've removed Berg from the role and settled on a new choice, New Line executive Walter Hamada, the guy who helped bring It to New Line, and The Conjuring, which is still part of the whole, never mind, but he's going to be taking over the whole thing. Now, this move hopefully is going to bring some stability that some say is missing to a brand which has seen the likes of Chris Nolan, David Goyer, Zack and Deborah Snyder, Charles Roven, so many people. There's only a couple of more DC films for this year. Shazam, Aquaman, Wonder Woman 2 hasn't even begun filming yet, but Patty Jenkins says it's going to be awesome. It's not 2, because it's a whole new movie, because it's not really, it's so far apart,
right.
And they swear that we're going to get ourselves that Linda Carter cameo, and by God, we should have had one the first time around in the department store.
It would have been so easy to do.
So good luck, new guy. Maybe you could do better getting the masses to see the multiverse that I know is there.
And we all know Justice League was Wonder Woman too. Thank you very much.
It was. It really was.
Well, following confirmation of her exit from The X-Files, which makes it the last season, actress Gillian Anderson also won't be returning to play Media in the American Gods series adaptation on Stars.
No!
Anderson's exit is a direct result of showrunner Brian Fuller and Michael Green leaving the series late last year. This reveal came during an interview about X-Files, and she said, "It has been an extraordinary gift, and I'm incredibly grateful for the existence of Scully in my life, and for the gift that Chris gave me in casting me, and my friendship with David. It's been a wonderful run, but I've got other things to do." News about the future of American God has been slim since the Fuller Green exit. Kristen Chenoweth, who was Easter, is also indicated she's not sure if she's going to be back. So new showrunners have yet to be announced. Come on, Stars. Seriously, I've enjoyed this book very much. We've waited far too long for this. Why screw something up this wonderful? According to Stars, we are the distributors, the platform, and the delivery mechanism. We control the story. We control the flow. It's not our fault. They found other ways to occupy their time.
Who else am I going to get to dress up as David Bowie? Ready for a real page turner? It comes from an author that not enough people know. Varric Tethrys, the Dragon Age wry but poetic dwarf who made his first appearance in Dragon Age 2. Not just a resourceful hunter and trap layer, but also a famous writer. His novel, Hard in Hightown, is a bestseller in the continent of Thedas, and as it turns out, will soon be published in the real world. Dragon Age, Hard in Hightown is due out in July. Compliments of Dark Horse Books. It's going to be $20 and just under 100 pages. It's an illustrated novel that will make Varric's fictional masterwork readable in its entirety for the first time ever. It's meant to be Varric's retelling of a fictional struggle between rival cult factions in the city of Kirkwell, where Dragon Age 2 takes place. Now, if you're like me, this seems like an odd time for a Dragon Age book to be releasing, especially one that's as meta as this is trying to be. Now, keep in mind, Varric's success is more of a joke than anything else, as the title of his book suggests. In the game, he also has a literary rival pushing a second book under the title Hard in Hightown 2, Siege Harder, and an unofficial third book called Hard in Hightown 3, The Repunching.
Of course.
Not content just to keep the trilogy as flavor text to fill out Varric's biography, Dragon Age Inquisition even gives them some extra attention through a series of war table side quests. "I need a favor. Actually, it's called a loan, since I'll pay it back. Begins with a letter to the player from the dwarf. I got a letter from my editor in Kirkwall today. She tells me that Hard in Hightown 3, The Repunching, appeared in print from an anti-vamp printer a couple weeks ago. I'll give you a moment to contemplate the horror that is that title." Now, normally we have jokes at the end of these, wow, but really, who the hell could have done better than that story in itself?
Old news. Multi-rotorcopters and fixed-wing drones. News. Flying robots that move like living animals, crafted of next-gen materials, and draw their power not from batteries, but energy beamed from nearby aircraft. Awesome news. Powered with lasers. The Defense Enterprise Science Initiative, or DESI, announced a competition for basic science grants to build new paradigms for autonomous flight with a focus on highly maneuverable platforms and algorithms for flight control and decision-making. An accompanying broad agency announcement gets more specific. Basically, they're looking for bat-like drones that can be powered with directed energy beams. Where would the power be beamed from? The announcement leaves that up to the proposer, but it suggests that it could be transmitted either from the ground or from a high-altitude platform. Read that to mean that a plane overhead invisibly shooting power to the bird drone. This implies a roving band of laser-shooting supply ships to shoot the various animal drones that need power to keep them moving and following programming. Na 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 na
bat drone.
And here's where you remake Maximum Overdrive, because that would be terrifying.
Oh, God. You know Kohler, the simple bathroom fixture folks. Don't know if you noticed, but they've been releasing a few high-end smart products like a smart toilet for years now. But now the company is expanding to the whole bathroom. They've got a brand that they've introduced for a platform at the CES, Kohler Connect, that runs on a new line of products users can customize with presets and control with motion or voice, and some have Amazon's Alexa built in. These apply to a new suite of products from mirrors to showers to toilets. Designed to work with Kinect, users can start a shower, warm a toilet seat, adjust lighting from the mirror, or fill a bathtub to a desired depth through voice control. Users can tweak environmental presets using a new app, while the Kinect platform as a whole can automate tasks and monitor water usage. Some of the new products in the lineup can connect to the Alexa, Google Assistant, Apple's HomeKit. As more voice assistants enter homes and lives, creating a bathroom that's responsive to your vocal and gesture controls might one day actually feel natural. Install a Sensate intelligent faucet in your kitchen and tell it a precise measurement. Or treat yourself with a voice-activated heated toilet seat. You'll have to wait to make your connected bathroom dreams come true. Kohler's Veranda voice-lighted mirror, which comes with Amazon Alexa installed, will be the first Kinect product on the market with a March release window, with others coming later in 2018. But fear not, your dream is coming true, and one day you will be able to say, Alexa, flush. He does some shit. Wow. GRD is licensed with the Creative Commons Attribution, not commercial, not derivative works, 96% license. Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com, because, hey, guess what? We back, and we are trying to work the schedules to fix the broken, missing show thing. Hope you enjoyed the 2.5 minutes that existed. Anyway, go to youtube.com/geekradiodaily. There's great stuff there. There's a new cartoon. There's a new cartoon. Just go see it. And drop us a note, won't you please, it's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. And we will see you soon, much sooner than we did last time.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
I have no patience for useless things.
I thought it was piss wrapped in poo.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers!
Good times.
During all the years, I've been taking care of you. You and Natan have been taking care of me.
Grandpa, I belong with you.
Not any longer, Susan. You're still my grandchild, and always will be. But now, you're a woman, too. I want you to belong somewhere, to have roots of your own. With David, you'll be able to find those roots and live normally like any woman should do. Believe me, my dear, your future lies with David and not with a silly old buffer like me. One day, I shall come back. Yes, I shall come back. Until then, there must be no regrets, no tears, no anxieties. Just go forward in all your beliefs and prove to me that I am not mistaken in mine. Goodbye, Susan. Goodbye, my dear.